Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Willkommen zum IGN UK Podcast. Ich bin Simon Cardi und bei mir ist dieser Woche Dale Driver und Jesse Gomez. Wie geht's, Jungen?
Ich bin Dale Driver. That's about all I got, I'm afraid.
Wunderbar. That's enough German. I probably butchered, and I'm sorry if you're a German listener. Please don't message me saying how I got it wrong.
Do you think they switched off the podcast as soon as they heard that, figuring it's the wrong one?
You're still recognising my voice, aren't you?
Go into the podcast options and you've got the wrong language setting or something.
Yeah, imagine if the podcast did that, just auto-translate
into
German. Well, there we go. That's enough of that for now. Let's talk about, what have we got this week? We've got a few things. Like last week, we were quite empty. We made up some stuff. Of course, the British sitcom Smash.
Ooh, big hit.
It was actually a surprisingly big hit.
Yeah.
But like as much feedback as we've had in a long time, so we'll get to some of that later, don't worry. Almost as many as when we asked people what their favourite crisps were.
So, I honestly feel like it was more.
Maybe it was more. I feel like maybe crisps was over a few weeks, so maybe we'll have more Smash characters. But why don't we talk about some films and games first?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, before that, I'm going to talk about something completely different, which is, if you don't know at IGN, we do these inside stories. They're like big kind of documentary-like features, and me and Matt have been working on one for months now that comes out this Sunday, if you're listening to this Friday or Saturday. If you listen to it Sunday or later, it's already out, so you might have watched it. But it's about the creation of a band called KDA, which you may or may not have heard of. They are a pop group, kind of K-pop inspired, so got some Korean influences in there. But the weird thing about them is they're created by Riot Games, who make League of Legends, and it's just, I don't want to say too much if you don't know the story of them, because it's an interesting and bizarre story, and I think it's something I already kind of knew about, and I liked the music, which sucks. It's not normally my sort of music either, but for some reason it absolutely bangs. Probably play some at the end, but I think, Dale, you can attest that because you had no interest in them. You watched the video and you're like, now you're a super fan.
I'm very 38 years old. You kind of get stuck in your ways at that point, and I didn't think I had any interest in K-pop music. But then you guys intrigued me with this pitch. Mm-hmm. Of the fact that it was the guys who make League of Legends, they were made a K-pop band, and that's an interesting enough hook anyway to find out. But then when you actually get into it and watch it, and I had to watch it, you know, quite a while ago now for, you know, editing purposes and stuff, and I realized actually these songs are phenomenal, like really well produced pop songs, and now all of a sudden my Spotify is full of KDA songs, like not something I ever expected, but yeah.
So yeah, just a little plug there. We don't normally do plugs for our work, but you know, when it's big things like that, we thought, why not let people know it exists?
Yes.
So yeah, from this Sunday at 3 PM UK time, like 7 AM if you're on the West Coast of America, it'll be live. So give it a watch.
Yeah, check it out.
We'd appreciate it. What have we been doing this week, though? We have been playing Back 4 Blood because the open beta started yesterday, I believe. There was a closed beta for a few days. We just, me, you, well, just us three and Matt even, jumped in last night and played all the campaign stuff, which is about roughly an hour and a half worth of content. I think we had a good time.
Yeah, we kind of, I feel like there's more than that because we played it on normal, but it was kind of a breeze. Like we didn't really struggle. Yeah. So I feel like if you ramped up the difficulties, there's quite a lot in there, that beta actually.
Yeah. That's the weird thing. Cause I played the closed alpha, and just recalling back to that first chapter that we played through, it was leagues ahead in terms of difficulty. And what we played through, like Cardi said, was a bit more just breezy. Like we didn't encounter that much difficulty really at all.
Which is weird because I know it has like the AI director thing, which kind of alters like each time you play it. And I played it earlier in the week with Tam and Lucy actually, and we played one of the levels, which in this beta is sort of like a bridge and a boat.
Mm.
I found it quite difficult. Like, this absolutely swamped in enemies, like loads of like heavy enemies as well.
Yeah.
We played it last night and we just ran through the bridge and the boat without being touched. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It was almost like they forgot to load half the enemies.
Yeah, like I was really hyping myself up for it. And then when it happened, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a lot different.
Yeah, that one level, there was only one spicy bit right at the end when we were trying to run off the boat and I got grabbed to like with like 6 seconds to go. But we still made it. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, it's obviously we were playing it on normal. That's with friendly fire turned off. I imagine that's a much harder game with friendly fire turned on because
For sure,
we were hitting each other a lot. But yeah, I just kind of, I know what Left 4 Dead is. I've watched Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead passed me by when it originally came out. I never really got into it. I was never really into those sort of games when they came out. I didn't really have an Xbox or a PC, and I didn't really play a lot of online games, to be fair, until, well, a little bit after that. So it's always a game I knew I'd love because, like, just the design of, like, four friends teaming up to kill loads of zombies. I mean, what's not to like about that? It seems very, from everything I've heard anecdotally, it seems very similar to that. Obviously, it's the same studio.
Yeah,
it's effectively Left 4 Dead 3.
I mean, that's what they're going for, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's clear enough in, like, the marketing and advertising. But despite it being, like, people saying, like, you know, this is basically Left 4 Dead 3, in reality, like, gameplay-wise, it's a fair bit different, especially with that card system as well.
And Matt was saying yesterday, I'm the same as Cardi in terms of Left 4 Dead history, but Matt was saying like it was way more comprehensive in terms of weapons as well, like what, like the variety of
there's
weapons.
There's tons of weapons. There's like, seems like there's 30 different guns, which I wasn't expecting. I found my babies, as I do in most games, of like the M16 and the MP5. Mm. I mean, I'm not a gun nut, I promise, but I have my
don't expose me like that, man.
But it's just, I want to see more of it because I am into it. I just want to know how long that campaign is because I'm not really into the versus stuff as much, I don't think. Mm. But we'll see. I want to see more of the cool enemies because we only saw really about four, maybe five different types.
I would say overall, like I really liked it and I had a good time. But I do have a couple of like issues. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like sometimes I appreciate the speed of it, but sometimes I feel like it's going by too fast and I'm not really
very sure.
Yeah. I'm not even like the moment to moment combat, I feel like I'm not really taking in the thing because we're just legging it to the next one. And
well, especially when you play with someone like Jesse, who just runs 30 yards ahead and mows everyone down. You're just like, oh, cheers.
That one moment when I was running through all the crows.
One moment. It was every single one.
I'm referring to specifically the crow moment, which usually you have to avoid, but really you're in a funnel here. My idea was, because you guys were dealing with enemies at the back, I would sprint ahead, attract all the crows, in which then the zombies in that area came to me.
So noble.
So I ended up assisting you lot by killing the enemies ahead. I just want to say that.
Yeah, you're constantly at 100 miles an hour. Even like, you know, the combat is 100 miles an hour as well. That sometimes I didn't feel like I was like appreciating the moment. It never. There was only a few moments where we truly felt like, oh my God, we're swarmed here. How do we deal with this? And I kind of want more of those sort of moments, I think.
Left 4 Dead has a lot of those. Sorry, go ahead.
Go on. You talk about Left 4 Dead. Go on.
Oh, no, this thing like... You mentioned, you know, how you're constantly rushing through, you're always trying to get to that next safe room and stuff. And Left 4 Dead, you know, is pretty much like that. But a lot of the missions in Left 4 Dead are a fair bit longer than what's in Back 4 Blood.
Right.
And I'm thinking of the first campaign in Left 4 Dead, No Mercy, when the Xbox 360 demo for that came out. It was only the first two, like, missions in that campaign, out of a total of four. And I've replayed that countless and countless of times. And even that felt longer than what Back 4 Blood did.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit worried with like replayability as well, because, you know, I've put hundreds and hundreds of hours into Left 4 Dead, but with Back 4 Blood, I'm not really feeling that at the moment, just from what we've played.
It's just very, like I was saying, it is very quick. Like we did, I think there's eight levels.
Yeah.
And we did that in an hour and a half. Like you're looking at 10 minutes each of those. There's no time to just stop and smell the corpses, is what I'm saying.
Well, that final mission, like, there's a part where, you know, you have to kind of essentially destroy something and then, you know, get into the escape vehicle. That took us, I feel like, 10 minutes. And then it ended. I was like, oh, that's the end.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I know there's more. That was at one. But yeah, maybe that is just all basically an intro section. I don't know how many of, I haven't done my research. I don't know if they've even said, like, how many of these acts there are in the campaign.
I could also do with more variety. Well, I'm sure there is in the full game, like we've only experienced a taste of it. But in terms of the set pieces, like a lot of it is run to this point. and get to the safe house. Whereas I liked there's one mission where we had to coordinate planting bombs and stuff. I would want more of that. More like, okay, you're in this area, you've got to almost solve it, like not a puzzle, but you've got to put these things together to be able to get out of that. I felt like it could have done with more of that, and hopefully the full game has that. And I'm just
Well, we were in that one house and we were just absolutely like, we were all just covered in blood. There was one house where, like, we almost failed. Like, I think there was three of us down at one point and we managed to pull it around. That was a horror house. I've seen a lot of people being quite negative about it, but I quite enjoyed it. I had a good time. It's kind of exactly what I wanted, which is, I enjoyed that it's quite, I know we were playing it on normal difficulty, which is the easiest option we could do, but I liked that basically every of the just normal zombies is just like one shot gone. Yeah. And it has some of the most egregious lock on in a shooting game I've ever seen. You can turn that off, but I don't know, at the same time, it's just like, I'm happy with this at the moment. Just chat. It's exactly what I'd do with some other games. Just like zone out and just chat and just have a laugh.
It's very handy when you're on like the Desert Eagle or something. So you can just like constantly snap in, snap out, snap in. So you're still picking them off relatively fast. Because I feel like the sniper rifle feels like it would be useless most of the time because of the speed. But with the with the lock on, that kind of makes it a bit more.
Well, it's almost got that sort of Time Splitters, House of the Dead sort of thing to it. It feels more like a light gun arcade game than it does a console game in a way.
Yeah.
And I'm into it. I want to play more. And yeah, I don't know. It's not too long till it's actually out, is it? Is it not too bad? I want to say. Yeah.
Potentially.
You mentioned like the negative reception. I've been seeing it as well, because I have a lot of mates like me who, you know, loved Left 4 Dead 1 and 2 and been waiting for the third game to come out for ages. And I think to the run up of, you know, the alpha and now, you know, the open beta and stuff, hearing that, you know, at launch at least, offline play isn't going to be supported, I think that's a big thing for people who played Left 4 Dead, especially because the AI was like, it was really, really good AI. You know, they had really great callouts that would actually assist you if you go down. They would swap weapons throughout the campaign. I'm not really seeing that in Back 4 Blood when I've played with the AI. And I think the big thing as well for, like, you know, returning players from Left 4 Dead going into Back 4 Blood, there's no mod support. And I think that's what's worrying people as well, like, you know, big fans of Left 4 Dead, because you're seeing the way, you know, you've got cards and stuff in this game. And in my head, especially with their, you know, prior history with Evolve, I'm imagining microtransactions and stuff. And I feel like for me, that's a worry when it comes to Back 4 Blood, especially with no mod support.
I've heard nothing about microtransactions. I don't know if there are any. I haven't heard.
I feel like it'll be an easy thing to implement when they want to, given how it plays, because Left 4 Dead, like, you know, it was offline. It was so easy to pick up and play, and Back 4 Blood, you know, it's going to require that internet connection. The AI is not too great. It's all leaning towards something that I'm not quite comfortable with.
I mean, overall, I did enjoy it. Like I said, I just like shooting lots of zombies. And I do kind of wish there was a bit more character to the characters. Like, I don't really care for any of them. And I almost hoped they'd have more kind of unique abilities, like cool things they could do, rather than just like, this one has 10% more stamina or something like that. That's not too exciting for me. Like, if there was, I know they had like unique weapons or something like that, that would be quite cool. But like I said, overall, kind of nitpicking. I had a great time and I will play it, and I'm intrigued to play it on like nightmare difficulty and just see how hard it is.
That's going to be like closer to like that closed alpha experience where there's so many zombies, it's ridiculous. Like, you don't even have time to think. And so I think
is that how it scales, or how will it scale? I've not tried it on higher difficulties. Does it scale in terms of like volume of zombies, or is it
like the AI like director goes pretty crazy when it comes to like throwing just, you know, the normal infected and also the special infected, because I don't think we saw that many special infected when we were playing.
We saw the ones with like the massive like weird horrible like
the stretchy arm things. And then they had like the boomer equivalent where you like shoot and it explodes.
There was kind of one almost like boss like massive like golem sort of thing.
He was the only one who felt like it took a lot to go down. The rest of the special ones kind of still felt like once we all focused on them, it wasn't
too much. Maybe we need to try on a hard difficulty, see what it's like. But that's, like I mentioned before, the one thing that worries me is that I think that is like 40-50% friendly fire damage applies, so like the amount of time we were shooting each other, like
it was like mainly the lock-on thing, and you know, I think you would really have to coordinate like that card system if you're playing on hard difficulties. Like, this one person is really good at healing someone, this other person's good at melee and whatnot. Like, you want to probably focus and strategize more with cards. Because for us, it's just like, yeah, I want more stamina. Who gives a fuck? Like, yeah, it doesn't really matter when you're playing on normal because you're just in it, mm-hmm, you know, for yourself and stuff. You're not really thinking about the team at large.
You're in it for yourself, mate. I was a team player.
Well, no, but when it comes to card stuff, it's not like we're all thinking like, oh, let's go for this card and you go for that and I'll get the team upgrade so that it benefits this card and stuff. We weren't going on that
kind
of
level. That's because we knew it'd be useless because you'd just separate from the group anyway.
Listen, man, I saved you lot plenty of times, so let's not get twisted.
I think there was actually a time when all three of you were down and I saved the day, but I won't mention it. I didn't mention it. It's fine. I wasn't going to mention it until you did that. Okay. Anyway, if you've played Back for Blood over this weekend, it is an open beta. I don't know, is it a PlayStation only beta, or is it? I don't think it is, actually. Sure. I think it's open on everything.
Sure, I've seen on, because there is people playing on PC.
It's on PC. Yes, I think it's cross-play as well, actually. I'll probably play it a bit more, check it out, and let us know what you think of Back for Blood at IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com, the world's easiest email address. I also this week was lucky enough to go hands-on with Black Panther from Marvel's Avengers. The War for Wakanda expansion is out next Tuesday, I believe. It's a free expansion, as everything is with Avengers. Like, that's one thing you can't knock them on, that they have given lots of free content.
Yeah.
Whether at times it's the content people want is another question. But this content, I'm going to stop saying the word content, is good. look, it is content. It's content for a game. Yeah. If you don't know what the War for Wakanda expansion is Black Panther's introduction to the Avengers game, introduce him as a character, the whole Wakanda biome, and a story which, by all accounts, is pretty much as long as the Kate Bishop and Hawkeye's stories, which is a little disappointing to me. I thought it would be about double that, so that means
it's
probably
only a couple of hours.
I would say you're looking at 2 to 3. Maybe 4 if you stretch it from the missions there. I mean, the missions were chunky. I played the first 2 missions, and that took me around an hour.
Okay.
So,
do you think it'll be a little bit longer for someone like a new player who might really like Black Panther, just delving into it?
Maybe
now?
Yeah, because you can always explore. Because it's the way the Avengers missions are set up, is you don't have to go straight to objective. You can explore the area and do side stuff. But all in all, I'm excited by it, but with a caveat of, I think it's good for people who want to play that for a few hours. I don't think it's sadly going to be the thing that saves Marvel's Avengers, because it's not really changing how the whole game works, which is the main issue. But let's focus on the positives, which is Black Panther himself plays incredibly well, as all the characters in this game do. That's the frustrating thing that I think I said a lot of times. It plays really well, I think. Like, the combat is good. It's just what they have you do isn't great. And Black Panther feels really agile yet strong. He's kind of a mix of Black Widow and Captain America. He has a cool spear ability. He has almost like Batarang daggers. He's just really fun to play as. And you've got Christopher Judge, who played Kratos in God of War, playing him.
That's really
which
cool.
Which is great. Like, that's the thing. Like, the voice, like, so much of this game they've got so right.
Yeah,
and just bits of it just fall around, fall apart around it.
I was going to ask, like, I haven't touched Avengers since launch, but still in my head, it sounds like the kind of game I really want to play, just because I love, you know, that entire set and all the characters. But has much changed since the launch of Avengers, or is it, like you mentioned, that's still core?
I mean, it's a lot more stable. It doesn't break anymore, and it runs well.
That's what nice.
The core multiplayer game isn't too different. They've added a few real, like, Omega Threat level stuff, which is really hard. Like, some of it's really hard. But, like, if you're jumping in now, if you're someone who hasn't played since launch, you've got Kate Bishop, you've got Hawkeye, you've got Black Panther. You've got probably another 8 to 10 hours worth of story stuff there, which is quite cool.
So is Spider-Man not in there yet?
No, Spider-Man is coming. Yeah. They've confirmed he's coming and he is in development.
Because that's probably when, like, I might jump in, just because I love Spider-Man.
Yeah. Exactly. And who knows what form that will take, because obviously he's PlayStation exclusive. And are they really making, like, another 3-hour story exclusively with PlayStation? I wouldn't be surprised if he's added to the game as a character with maybe one mission and use him in multiplayer.
I don't know. Sad. I feel like it's taken long enough that you kind of want him to be coming with a lot of ammunition. Yeah.
I don't know. But Black Panther feels great. And the kind of thing I took away from it was that they are showing a bit of variety in this new one. You've kind of got some actual puzzles to do, and there's like a cave system, which is hard not to think of Tomb Raider, especially as it's Crystal Dynamics, who obviously made the latest Tomb Raider games.
Yeah.
They've taken bits of that into it, and I just wish there was more of that from the outset. But I'm hopeful, like, I've obviously only played the first hour or so of it, but I think it'll be really fun. If you're looking forward to Black Panther, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it's going to be that thing of, beyond next week, am I going to delete Avengers off my PlayStation again? God, like, mate. I don't know.
Has it got you excited for what, you know, is coming up? Because I think you mentioned this, like, is this like the first big expansion and everything else
was
small updates?
This is the first big expansion. Like, the others, yeah, this is the first one that's added a new area.
Yeah.
The others, and apart from that, it's kind of, well, you've got the same amount of missions and the same and a new character. There are new villains and new enemy factions, so that is something a bit different.
I've not been following this game since long. I played it a long time, wasn't for me, so I switched off. You said that it's got Hawkeye and Kate Bishop. Is that not basically the same character?
They're not. They've both got a bow and arrow, but they play very differently in the game. Well, I say very different. They play differently in the game.
It just seems like a surprising back-to-back first DLC characters to be both bow and arrow people.
I suppose they're linked and to do with the story, isn't it, they had in mind, which is kind of the interesting thing of where does this story go now? Because this is, after War for Wakanda, we know Spider-Man is coming to PlayStation, but apart from that, there's no real roadmap of what is next to this game. Like, is it the end? Yeah. Is there more?
Like, so, like, you didn't get any hints from like the story, like, oh, this could be coming up. Like, there's no kind of build up.
No, like, they've constantly been hinting at stuff. Like, there's rumors, like the way they released a mission a few weeks ago that was a Monica Rappaccini fight. She's one of the villains in the main game, if you remember her. And her bit kind of ends and people think it's a tease for Ultron. Oh, maybe Ultron turns up in this Black Panther DLC. I don't know, because I've obviously only, I don't know, a third of the way through or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They are hinting at stuff that... But who knows if they'll get the chance to do it.
I also say it's a big enough license that you can't really give up on it, can you? You have to find a way to sort of recoup your investment from it, whether that is paid DLC going forward or like a sequel to it that just expands upon the idea and makes the idea.
I feel like that Guardians game is probably going to come on. People are going to be like, see you later, Avengers.
Yeah.
And probably move on.
Yeah,
but the Guardians game is a single player game, though, isn't it?
I feel like at the end of the day, people might just be getting tired of this, like, you know, core gameplay loop when it comes with loot and all stuff and, like, you know, all that kind of cosmetic shit.
They
might 100%. Just want, you know, a good single player Marvel game, which, like, aside from Spider-Man, I can't really think of any other highlights that are like that.
You know what? I really like. Did you ever play that Captain America game on, was it on PS3?
Xbox 360.
Well, yeah, that generation. I thought it was all right. I quite liked it. It was an Arkham ripoff, but I quite liked it.
But yeah, it is a fun game, and I don't, you know, sometimes I apologize for, I think, liking it. I was like, I enjoyed it. It's a fun game, and I like playing it with people, and, you know, it gives me an excuse to talk to people. It's just, it's just fun. Yeah, I like it. It's enjoyable. And if you're looking forward to Black Panther, I'd still be very excited about it, because I came away very impressed.
I mean, you did say it's all free, so that's really good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's free, and I don't imagine, even if you haven't played any of the Avengers game right now, I imagine it's quite cheap.
How do you actually jump into expansion? So if I hadn't finished like the core campaign, can I just be like, I want to go and play as Black Panther in its campaign?
I think you can, because from the main menu, you would just select War for Wakanda expansion. I'm pretty sure you can just... Yeah, don't think you have to have completed the campaign, or you'll just be very confused as to why, you know. Spoilers, Captain America doesn't die at the start of Avengers, like they told everyone.
I never got that far. Are you for real? That's fine. I got it. I worked that out.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. If anyone's genuinely angry about
that's the worst kept secret in video game history.
He's been in every trailer, playable trailer. He's playable.
But I actually didn't get to the bit when he came back. So.
No, I didn't either.
Well, I won't spoil how it happens. Maybe you'll finish that game one day.
Maybe I will not. It's long deleted.
Saying that, we'll move on. We're going to skip Sign in the Right Road, because you said you won't go back to that, but for some reason you've gone back to Jedi Fallen Order, which I would say is here's a bold statement, is a worse game than Avengers.
Well, that's nonsense for a start. Mm.
It's not nonsense.
But give us a good reason, Dan.
But I was going to mainly talk about the things that I found annoying.
Why are you replaying?
Okay, so it's kind of an accident, right? So here we go.
You accidentally installed like a 50 gig game.
Here we go. Installed the game.
So I don't know if you boys noticed or know, but I love trophies, right? And Fallen Order was one of those games where if there's the PS5 version and if you install it and bring your save over, it just pings all the trophies. So it's like, obviously I'm going to do that, right? So I did that, booted it up, and then I realized for some reason my only cloud save was about a third into the game, And so I booted up and I got some of them and it pinged up. And then I was like, oh, that's really annoying. So I'd have to just play the whole thing again. And then I was like, but I was in it and I just started dabbling around for a bit. And the next thing I know was I'd done like several missions and then I was just going for it. And then I ended up playing the whole game and getting the platinum regen.
Okay.
So that's how I started playing it. But I will start with positive. Like, say what you want about that game. Like, the actual core, like being a Jedi.
It's perfectly fine game. Yeah, that's the thing.
Being a Jedi is like super fun in that game. Like, even when I'm down to like the collectible hunt and I'm just working my way through these maps and just coming across stormtroopers, and now because I'm all souped up, I'm like, pull one towards me, stab it through his chest, force push another one away, then do like a massive blast where I pull them all in at once and do like the split lightsaber thing. It's like, it is really satisfying combat. Like, I don't get bored of it at all. And sound effects and presentation is obviously phenomenal. But I was reminded, like, I didn't hate it the first time. In fact, I quite enjoyed it the first time around. I think the fact that you're a Jedi for the first, it feels like the first real game where you get to play as a Jedi and it's like legit, you know, not just a crappy game.
Jesse has something to say.
What kind of game is you saying that, mate?
I base it on the games I played on like the PS1 era. Like,
Force Unleashed.
Unleashed
the Force, mate.
I didn't think much of the Force Unleashed, to be honest. So, but this felt like true, like sort of wish fulfillment, you know? And so I liked playing it for that aspect.
Yeah.
But there's so many like bad design decisions in those things. Like, all the sliding stuff is absolutely so mental. Much. Not only because there's so much of it, but also it's so easy to mess it up and you're constantly dying and it just takes you back a step and it's so instant that it's just like, how did they, when they were testing this, how did they not think, oh, we should probably just make this easier to slide down these paths? Like, so many sharp corners or jumps that you can time wrong. That was one thing. Another thing is, I think I understand what they're going for, right? I don't play these games on the hardest difficulty. In fact, I played it on the easiest difficulty because I want to be a badass Jedi and kill people. I know that's not what a Jedi does, but you know. And I want to destroy everyone. But they were going for that sort of a light Dark Souls vibe. But they've built the maps, especially Zepho, like that, where it's a whole, you know, it's all about looping back and unlocking secret paths. Yeah. But when you get to the end of one bit and then it's like, okay, now you have to go all the way back to your ship again. There's so much.
Why is there no fast travel back to the ship?
It's crazy how much back travel. And then the worlds are not that good either. So there's so much like backtracking through boring environments. Like, is it called Bogano? The first like planet that you really go to is the most boring looking planet. It's just like a few rocks formations and then a temple. And I think they could have done, I'm sure they're making a sequel. They might have already announced it, actually. I'm not sure. I think there's rumors at least. And I think if they can work on their world design, they could, there's something really special there. I just think the way the maps are built are just awful. Like,
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, it's Star Wars and you can have so much verticality to it just because you are playing as a Jedi, you know, the force jump exists and all sorts. But I think for me, like, the only thing I really didn't enjoy about Fallen Order was just the combat, because when I've pictured Jedi games, I think, you know, like Star Wars Jedi Academy and stuff, where it's really fast paced and stuff. And, you know, you're jumping over people and you're rolling around and stuff. And you have, you know, different lightsabers you can use. And I don't want to play as a Jedi and feel like, you know, I'm going to do like a really slow, like, roll to the side. Like, it felt like I was playing a Dark Souls and with like a baseball bat.
That's what they're going for. And I agree with you on the harder, difficult, even normal, like, but on easy, I feel like what you wanted. Like, for me anyway, I felt like towards the end of the game, when I'm souped up, when I'm powered up,
I felt
like I was just like absolutely dominating the circle. Yeah,
when I switched to easy, it was a bit more of an enjoyable experience, but not exactly what I was looking for. But presentation wise, especially that ending when, you know, you end up going against, I mean, the game's been out for ages now.
Yeah.
Vader, that was a spectacle, and I love that. But I think just going against normal people like stormtroopers and stuff, I just didn't find too enjoyable.
Well, I think one of the highlights in terms of maps is Kashyyyk, and I think that's quite interesting. You know, when you're going up the giant tree and stuff, I think that's quite interesting. But it's also crazy the amount of bug type creatures that you have to fight and how easily they can dominate you on the normal difficulties as well. Mm-hmm. I know what you mean, but like when I said about wish fulfillment. My God, that game is wish fulfillment on easy mode only for me. Like that, I want to feel super powered. You know,
Game.
And for me, that game's more about like the Metroidvania stuff anyway. You know, like unlocking a new gadget that can get me to a new area, and I'm discovering things. And on the way, I'm murking stormtroopers.
Darth Murkin.
But I finished it again last night, and I'm not even going to I have already gave it a response now, haven't I?
Surely someone has made that Darth Merkin.
But yes, it was interesting to go back to it when it wasn't the hype all around it, when it just released and everyone was buzzing talking about it. Like, I know there was a lot of hyperbole, particularly from like Americans who like was talking about it as Game of the Year nominee and stuff.
Yeah,
I thought that was insane. And going back now with like it's been and gone, and just looking at it with fresh eyes, not coloured opinion, I think it's a 7 out of 10 game.
Yeah,
I think it's about that. Yeah. I was saying not just every American. Yeah, I think we're talking about IGN.
I was saying
US colleagues.
When I was saying,
I think a lot of people there thought it was better than we did.
I say particularly American people who work in the games media industry seem to think it was better than I thought. But they also thought that about Ghost of Tsushima as well, I guess. So.
I don't know. I liked it. Like you said, it's probably a 7, and I'd give Avengers a 7 now. So you know, maybe it's a slightly harder 7 for Avengers, a slightly better
just
game.
Before
you haven't even finished it, mate, you can't comment.
I would. I guess I'm more into Star Wars and Marvel as well. That kind of colours that. Mm.
But before we move on, I just want to say that there is a character called Merkin, except it's Talos Merkin, and he was a veteran starfighter pilot for the Rebel Alliance.
Doesn't Merkin
bring him back as a Darth?
Isn't Merkin like a pube wig as well or something?
What?
I think it is something like that.
That's grim. I didn't know that.
A Merkin is a wig made to cover the pubic area.
Covering. There we go. But it's also a great thing that Rio Ferdinand used to say a lot.
but he wasn't.
Do you know what? Rio Ferdinand looks a little bit like Darth Maul. I reckon if you put Darth Maul face paint on Rio Ferdinand, he could pull it off.
I'm imagining Rio Ferdinand when he signed for Man United and he was wearing that white suit, that disco suit almost.
Just give him a lightsaber.
And put Darth Maul's face paint on him.
Is he a boxer now?
No.
I think he did a couple of, an exhibition boxer.
Just like how CM Punk tried to do UFC. Like, it's that kind of scenario.
Just like that.
Exactly the same. Yeah.
Anyway, there's Dale's, almost 2-year-old review of Jedi Fallen Order for everyone.
Hey, it's always nice to rehear it.
I also watched Scarface the other night. Should I talk about that?
Why not?
I mean, it is a good film.
Have you ever played the Scarface game?
The world is yours.
No, I haven't, actually.
Banging.
No, I never.
The balls meter.
The balls meter. I mean, he does talk about balls in that film a lot.
He does love balls.
I thought you'd definitely have played that game. No. Do you know what kind of game it is?
Isn't it like a GTA ripoff?
It's kind of a GTA clone, but the cool thing about it is it's kind of an alternative history where...
Am
I going to spoil the end of Scarface?
I
don't know.
It's been out fucking ages.
What, the film or the game?
It isn't on my list. It isn't my list to watch from the 70s anyway. Is it 80s?
It's 80s.
But you have watched it, though, haven't you?
I've seen the film.
Oh, right. I thought you made it sound
numerous
like...
Numerous times,
Did you hear the films you recommended last week? I think he's seen Scarface.
because you made it sound like, oh, it's on my watch list. I have not seen it yet.
Oh, no, sorry. It's on my... I forgot you don't listen to the podcast, so you don't know what we talk about. But I had a couple nice people. Thank you if you messaged me saying you watched one of the films, suggested and enjoyed it. I didn't expect anyone to watch Lady Abelique, but people did. So there you go. What were we talking
about?
Scarface the game. Very good. Yeah. It kind of picks up from the end of the film, but obviously a different ending.
Okay.
He survives.
All very good. You got to kill all those cockroaches.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't going to do the accent. Right. Let's talk about Far Cry VR, which kind of, you could see Tony Montana as a Far Cry villain.
I guess you could, a version of Tony Montana, not actually Tony Montana.
Yeah, like some sort of Coke Lord,
Cuban Coke Lord,
I was going to say you two didn't, because I assume Jesse did, but you were still stuck in Spain at the time, weren't you?
Yeah, so, I'm quite upset I missed this.
But Dale, you got to go down with Matt and Emma to try out Far Cry in VR, which is more exciting than it sounds, because Far Cry in VR does make me just think you were sitting at home playing VR, but you weren't.
If it was that, I wouldn't be interested, if I'm being brutally honest, because I don't really play VR games. I get motion sickness quite easy, so VR's kind of not for me. Like, I liked Astrobot, but that's kind of a little bit different. You know, you're the observer in that, as opposed to being the character. But Far Cry VR is actually something that you can't play at home. It's not available on Oculus or anything like that. It's only at remote locations, so it's more of an experience. It's something you have to go to. The one I went to was in London, in Wembley Box Park. But I believe there's one in Birmingham, I want to say Sheffield. Have a look at their website anyway, if I could remember what their name of the company is called. Search Far Cry VR. I'm sure you'll find it that way. But there's several in America as well. So what it is a giant room, and I mean giant. It's like a size of a couple of buses. Like it's quite big. And they strap on a VR headset and they give you a gun, and there's a PC, but it lives on your back. It's a backpack basically, so you're carrying around these remote PCs, but you're all connected in a world where you're playing what you would expect to be a Far Cry VR experience, but you've got free roam. Like within this huge space you can walk around, so you are actually, it's almost, we're getting to like Oasis Matrix levels here where you're actually walking around in this world. And you, like, there were several points where I had to ask Matt to move out the way because he was standing in my way.
See, that's wicked.
Because I could see it in the VR. It's like, I was trying to get a good shot and he was blocking this path. I was like, Matt, can you move to the right a bit? I'm trying to get past you here. And that was like super surreal, like walking around with your friends in a VR thing, but they look different, obviously. The actual experience, and I believe they've got other games as well that you can play, is really good, and I recommend it wholeheartedly. Like, it's a really unique take on VR. It's almost like, you could argue, like the next step of VR, truly bringing yourself, immersing yourself into these worlds. Unfortunately, the game though is kind of, Matt said it in his written piece, is Far Cry in name only. It almost feels like they had this idea of this shooting gallery, Time Crisis-y, move from one location to the next, and within that location you can walk around. But you're largely stuck in a zone before you travel to the next zone. And then it's just a kill box. It's just constantly enemies coming at you. Take them all down, take them all down. And the only really thing that makes it Far Cry is the tropical location. And at the start, Vaz is there. And at the end, Vaz is there from Far Cry 3. And that's it.
Does he get proper in your face at any point?
Yes. Right at the start, he gets in your face. And he does the whole speech from basically wholesale lifted from Far Cry 3.
Does he individually go to everyone?
No, so
in their face.
From looking back at the footage, it appears the opening section where you see Vaz you're just on your own.
You're in a cage.
And then it releases you, and then you come together with your friends. So you all get that same experience. There is also like another thing that makes it Far Cry is there's also a drug induced section. I'm not going to spoil too much about that, but there's lots.
All I heard was that Emma had a fantastic time.
Well, yeah, I kind of have to spoil one thing about it. One tiny little bit about the drug induced thing. There is lots of sea creatures that fly over your head, including a giant whale and sharks at some point. And Emma, as well documented on this podcast, not a fan of whales, apparently.
That's so cute, though.
I mean, but imagine what things are. Think about what things are like in VR. Like, did you play that? Of course, you played Vader Immortal.
Yeah. When I didn't realize how fucking hench and tall Vader is.
He is like, massive.
Man, I feel embarrassed here.
I get terrified in VR when like something giant comes towards me. So yeah, when you look up and there's a whale going above your head, it's quite an intimidating thing to see. And then poor Emma, and I think she was just silent.
Started shooting into the air.
You didn't really hear much from her. She was just like frozen in fear.
Yeah.
The whole thing goes on for about half an hour, and it's also, they keep a score, they tally the score as well. So it's more of a fun experience you can do with friends, like going to Laser Quest or something like that.
Yeah.
You can play up to 8 players. We played with 3 of us.
Oh, wow.
I can't imagine 8 players in that.
That must be mental.
It must be like, they must be banging into each other all the time.
What I want to know is that, so obviously you're in a humongous room.
Yeah.
And like, are you starting in, for example, like the left corner and you're kind of staying around there, and then like after you kill all the enemies, you start to like just move a little bit and then you stand still?
So
how does it transport you to like these different sections?
So I don't know how it works for other games, but for this game in particular, you start in a little square. Like, it tells you points on the floor to walk to, so you stand there.
Okay.
And then the sections will usually be walk a couple of meters and you're on like a lift, an elevator, or something that takes you to the next section. And but then there is a few where it's walking down paths, but if you looked at it on paper, I think you'd clearly see that you're walking around in circles, right?
Yeah.
So you're walking around a corner, then you're walking off to this bit, then you're walking back upon yourself. So it makes use of the space in a clever way. But when you're in the VR world, it feels like you're actually traveling quite a distance.
No, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
It's not just like, you can't just see all the areas in one big thing. You're taken from area to area. And there's,
Yeah.
I maybe overstated how much walking there truly is. Like, there's not like a massive
amount. You're not doing like a couple kilometers.
But a cool bit, like the last area of combat, you're around the stone walls kind of around you, but it's got gaps in it. And you feel like that's where you can stand. But then at one point, I noticed Matt had just walked off really far into the distance. So I was like, oh,
that's really cool.
But I was so like in the VR mode where you just like sort you of stay were
buying
stationary.
Into it.
Yeah. But then I realized, oh, hang on, I can actually walk all the way up because I was like struggling to shoot guys who are so far away. So yeah. I was just like, okay, I'll just walk over there. So I walked like 10 meters over there.
That's
and,
cool.
Like my whole perspective changed.
How do you, what, did any of you like die? What happens if you die? Does the screen just turn red?
And when you die,
do you have to fall over?
No, I wish. Break the equipment. I was ducking lots of times though, because that works, obviously, like ducking undercover and stuff. No, when you die, your gun flashes white, where it goes white. And you're just out of the game for about 5 seconds, and then you're back in again. So
okay.
No, there's not a massive penalty. But
yeah,
also,
it would be shit if there was, because you paid for it, I guess.
Like, you're just done game over.
Well, we did die a lot as well, because it's... I wouldn't say it's completely 360-degree combat, but it's close, right? And so there's a lot of times you're shooting a cluster on one side, and then you'll be getting shot in the back by someone else because you didn't think about them being over there. So there's a lot of those instances. Yeah, I feel, also, it's one of those things, you're just getting used to how this works. I imagine our second time we'd be a lot better at it.
Yeah.
You'd be like elite VR
players. You didn't
have
to like climb at all.
No, there was no like climbing.
40-foot tower.
And I also, I checked with somebody who worked there beforehand, there's no instances where the game just drops you as well.
That would make near enough anyone feel completely ill if you're new to VR.
Did you play that PSVR game? It's the one that came packaged with the gun peripheral. Oh, what was it called?
Oh, it's like when you're shooting aliens and
stuff.
Yeah,
it's all Starship Troopers style. Like,
I never had a PSVR, but I know the game.
Oh, yeah.
I was playing it at work, and there was a bit where you walk over a bridge, and the bridge collapses and drops you like 100 feet. And I just took the helmet off at that point. I was like, no, not doing
that. Yeah, because your mind and your body is just like two separate things at that point. Yeah. You just can't handle it.
It sounds interesting. I think you can do it for up to 10 friends as well.
Eight.
It's so crazy.
At Wembley Box Park, I believe they've got several games. Also, while you're there, you know, they've also got, I noticed they got Axe Row in there. They got some, they got Mini Golf there. I was like, seems like a great place to go
for
that.
You're just repping Wembley Box Park now.
Honestly.
I mean, they got good food there as well.
Yeah, exactly. And when I was in there, I was like, this just looks like a fun day of coming in and playing loads of different types of games, you know?
Yeah. Did you say they had different VR games as well?
Yes,
or
I did.
The Far Cry experience?
I can't tell you what they are, but I know they do have several different experiences. I don't know if they're all like gun combat. They might be.
Because I know there used to be like a Star Wars one that was like a similar premise, and I know you can't play it like on your Oculus or anything else. So I guess it's similar to that standard experience.
I mean, Jesse, I think you'd love to check it out. Like, it's not. Don't think of it as a game. It. Think of it as going, like I said before, doing Laser Quest or something. It's just
For sure. I mean,
it's a fun experience to do.
You lot go into this and me watching the video afterwards, like, it just made me realize, like, I desperately want, like, just a Time Crisis VR or House of the Dead kind of thing just to play at home, because I'd love that. Yeah. And this sounds, like, right up my street, and it's not even that far from me as well, which is cool.
There we go. Maybe get yourself down and shoot some bad guys on a beach. That's what we all want to do, isn't it? What have we got going on next? Should we do an endless search?
Yeah. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search?
Dale,
hello,
quiz man, quiz me up, baby.
I have got a quiz, but it was not my quiz, and this quiz is from Zach. Zach has sent it in, and so this is. So Zach, I'm going to read Zach's emails. It's, hi guys and now gal. I've been a listener to the podcast for years and it remains a weekly highlight of my long commutes around the country. I've intended to write in a number of times, but never got my ass into gear. Well, no more. I finally decided to write in with an endless search game for you to play with a twist on a recent Metacritic score game we've all enjoyed. It's basically the classic Bruce Forsyth style higher or lower game. So what he sent in is 5 rounds and we've got 10 higher or lower options. He suggested a mechanic, which I think can work, which it's almost like winner stays on to a certain degree. And then when we get to the 10th one, whoever's still in charge wins the game. I guess on the 10th one, if that person gets it wrong, then the point goes to the other person.
So are you presenting us with an answer? We just decide which.
So I'll present you with the first one and then I'll say the next one, and I'll tell you what the concept is, and then it'll become self-apparent. It's very easy.
I get you.
And I believe it's all based. Let me just check. Okay,
it's all based on British sitcoms.
So there is Metacritics, several Metacritics ones, but there is a How Long to Beat one and Lifetime Gross Revenue as well. So the sexy ones. Okay, so let's do it. Round Let's number go. One is indie game Metacritic Metascores. Okay. We'll start off. The first one is Steam World Dig on the PS4, which got an 82, which seems quite high. Let's say, Jesse, you can go first on this one. So the next game is Shovel Knight on the PS4. Are you going higher or lower than 82?
Absolutely higher.
You are correct. It's 90.
Shovel Knight. Everyone loves Shovel Knight, apparently.
So, Jesse, you stay on until you balls it up. Unless you don't.
Okay, I'll have a rest then. Yeah.
The next game is Inside on the PC. Higher or lower than 90?
Higher.
It's actually lower. It's 87. What? So now the baton passes to Simon.
Hello.
You sound happier.
The next game.
I'm here.
The next game is Limbo on the PC. Higher or lower than 87?
Well, Inside is a better game than Limbo, but I think people maybe went more mad for Limbo because it was newer when it came out.
Higher or lower than 87?
I'm going to go higher.
It is higher by 1 point. It's 88. Extremely close.
Certified
people
genius.
Are wrong. I mean, they're both very good games.
Yeah.
The next game, Simon, is Bugsnax on the PS5. Higher or lower than 88?
A game I reviewed myself. Gave it an 8 out of 10. So by that metric, I'm going lower.
So you are on the high end, mate, because it is lower and it's 75 is on Metacritic.
Yeah. The thing you learn about this business is people don't know what they're talking about there. No. And that'll be me.
Card, it's a banging song, though.
Card is rank continues. I like Bugs Alpha. It was good fun. Yeah. Played that over Christmas. Yeah. Another Cardy favourite, The Witness.
Is it? Oh, that's absolutely higher. That's one of the best games I've ever made.
Just saying out right now.
It is higher. 87.
Yeah.
Keeps the rank continues. Next up, Super Meat Boy on the PS4. Higher or lower than 87?
See, that was kind of one of the big first, you know, breakout indies, wasn't it? Really? That's one people, they did love that game. Obviously, an indie game, the movie, if you've seen that, good film.
It's good film. Higher or lower than 87?
It's an 87. I'm going to go higher.
You are wrong. It's 85. Jesse, you're up, mate. What were you going to say?
I was going to say I probably would have been higher for like the 360 release because that was like an Xbox arcade game, wasn't it? So yeah, it's been out for ages by that point.
Yeah, so yeah, bear in mind the consoles because that could affect. The next one, higher or lower than 85, Little Nightmares on the PS4.
Lower.
It is lower, 78. We've only got 3 left. Hollow Knight on the Switch. Higher or lower than 78?
Absolutely higher.
It's got to be, surely.
It's higher.
Okay,
keep going. I did the old X Factor bit there. I thought I'd try it out. Okay, 2 left. Next one is Celeste on the Switch. Higher or lower than 90?
Higher.
Don't even take a time to think about
it,
do
very
you?
Close. No,
because people love that game. I know that.
I just told you Hollow Knight got a 90, though.
Yeah, but people also love Hollow Knight as well. It's those kind of games where like...
It can't be higher than 90, can it?
It has to be.
It could be.
Are you sticking with higher?
Yeah.
I know
you gave
it a 10, but I don't think many places did.
It is higher. 92.
Yes.
Last one.
Not by a lot, though.
If you get this one, Jesse, you get the point. World of Goo on the Wii. Higher or lower than 92?
You see, World of Goo...
Is it a curveball? Is it a curveball?
That game... is on a lot of people's lists when it comes to recommended Wii games. But this is... Does this count user score as well?
The only information I've got is Metacritic Metascore.
Okay. I want to say higher.
Higher than 92, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That's bold. I wouldn't have gone for that.
Jesse gets a point. 94.
Is it?
Yeah.
94?
Why else would that be that it's a joke because it's a Wii game, so people would think it's shit, right?
Why is it a joke because it's a Wii game? There's lots of good Wii games. You're lucky Joe's
No one else in this team is going like, I'm going to take the Wii out to play a game. No one else other than most likely me.
All right, mate.
What?
Wait, I don't know. You went from slagging it off to the great defender there.
What I'm saying is that not a lot of people are going to be whipping out the Wii to play like the great titles on it because it's just too much of a hassle.
That, That is true.
I mean, well, I won't because I don't have one.
Well, you don't use the Wii sensor and get the nunchuck, and then you've got to get batteries and shit. That stuff's long.
The only thing I'd want to really play on the Wii again is like Mario Galaxy, and I can play them on the Switch now. So might be fun to whip out Wii Sports once in a while, but yeah, it's a lot of effort, isn't it?
Whip it out.
Okay, so this one is movies worldwide lifetime gross revenue.
Gross.
Okay. Worldwide.
Okay, this is where I can have it.
Okay, so number one is Avengers Infinity War, which was 2,847,000,000.
That's a lot.
Not very good at reading numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe that's Simon,
the most. Isn't it?
This is up to you now. So the next one is Jurassic World. Is it higher or lower?
Lower.
It is lower. Substantially lower.
Was that the? Is it the fourth film that's like in the new trilogy? Right. Is that the
Jurassic one? Jurassic World was the first. Yes. Was the reboot.
Oh, okay. Right. First. Right.
Yeah.
So Jurassic World was 1,670,000,000. Next one, Simon, is Jurassic Park.
Why are you suddenly calling me Simon all the time? Is this the quiz?
It's the quiz, Simon? Yeah. In the quiz mode, it's Simon.
Sorry, what was it?
Jurassic Park.
Oh. Is this adjust for inflation?
All I know is the number that's in front of me. So Jurassic World was 1,670,000,000.
See, like, when Jurassic World came out, it might have even overtaken E.T. If not, it was very close to E.T. as like the biggest. I don't think it could have earned that much, though. I'm going lower.
It is lower. It's 1,034,000.
Unbelievable.
Simon keeps his run going. The next one. Minions.
Oh, mate. That film made bank.
It is higher, but not by like a substantial amount. Only by about 60 million or something, 80 million. Anyway, it's
by a few minions.
Yeah. It was 1 billion. It still made a billion, though. 1,159,000,000 was Minions. This is a good run.
Classic
good
minions.
Run you got here.
It's a good run. This
next one.
I'm happy.
The Dark Knight. Higher or lower than 1,159,000,000?
I'm going higher again.
You are wrong. It's lower. So The Dark Knight did break a billion, but it's 1,006,000,000.
Oh, just did it.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It was a good run. I'm a bit annoyed you're not doing the Brucey voice for all of
this. Yeah. I don't know if I could commit to that for the whole length of this, to be honest.
Yes.
Next up, it's Jesse, you've got the baton. Toy Story 4, higher or lower than 1,006,000,000?
I want to say lower.
You're wrong. It's actually higher. Not by much. It's 1,073,000,000.
In my head, I feel like that was mostly like a nostalgia thing. I don't think
it's a good film as well.
No, I know, but the way I'm picturing it is that people
Toy Story film, mate.
I know, but I don't know how many kids actually care about Toy Story.
Loads.
That much.
Probably most.
Enough to make 1 billion.
People my age going to see it.
See, I'm picturing
well.
More people your age than kids watching it, to be fair.
I don't know. I feel like everyone my age is having kids is taking their kids now.
I would say, anecdotally, all my nieces absolutely love that film.
Fair enough.
They all had their own Forkies.
Okay. Combat Carl.
Yeah. Okay, goes back to Simon.
Yeah.
Venom.
Oh, God.
Go get him. How much did Venom get him?
That can't, like, I'm just, there's no way that's earning more than Toy Story. I'm going lower because it would be, frankly, hurtful to me if it earned more money than Toy Story.
So it was lower. You're right. It was 856 million. So still a decent chunk of change.
Pennies. That.
Yeah. Make that in a day.
Next up, Simon. Iron Man. Higher or lower than Venom?
It's the first Iron Man. Do you know what? I'm going lower.
It is lower. Substantially so. Iron Man was 586 million.
Mm. There we go. Rubbish. Who'd want that?
Here's a curveball for you. Next one. The Hangover. Higher or lower than 586 million?
It's not like the highest earning like R-rated comedy of all time, maybe? I don't know. I'm going higher.
Yeah.
You're going higher.
Yeah.
Surely.
It's lower. for what? 469 million, which is a lot of money for a comedy.
Still a lot of cash. Jesse, I thought it was near a billion. I thought it was a lot.
Jesse, it moves to you, and there's only two left. You could get the point.
If I've got like seven, and he's got one, and I can still lose.
It's just the rules. That's where the game goes. You got to keep streak going. Should call this game the streak. That's what it's called. Right, and Jesse.
What a great name.
Here's some expertise for you. Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Higher or lower than 469 million?
See, it was such a long wait that people must have paid so much. Like, a shit ton of people must have watched it. It has to be higher.
Of course it's higher, mate. I can't believe you ever doubted that one.
Well, no, just because everyone shits on that film, and rightly so.
But did you ever see the video of all the people that came out of the cinema seeing that film and what they were saying about it?
Well, they were like, wow, that's
the everyone's talking about it like it was the greatest film they've ever seen.
Yeah. It's because Darth Maul happened right at the end, so they forgot everything else.
Rhea Ferdinand's in it, that's why.
Darth Merkin, yeah. Okay, yeah, the answer was 1 billion and 27 million, by the way. So over double. The last one, Jesse, you can get the point if you get this.
Disgraceful.
Higher or lower than 1 billion and 27 million, Inception.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I'm just going to say lower.
What are you basing that on?
Just, I got a feeling it might be a bad one.
I'm
just
going to say
on the top.
Jesse, you are correct. You go, that's 837 million.
Star Wars always beats anything.
That is not always true. But yeah. Round three.
It's a disgrace, this, isn't it?
Yeah. Who's winning right now?
2-0 to Jesse.
I mean, wicked. Yeah. Yeah.
still all to play for. Still all to play for. This round is games. Because there's five rounds. This is games and how long it takes to beat them, the main story. And I assume this data is based on how long to beat website, which is the average.
And is this main story, like that section?
Yeah,
or like
it actually does say, yeah, sorry, I didn't read it out. It says main story in brackets.
Okay, cool. That's important to know.
So I think
Jesse first.
Well, no, I think we're going to start with Sanford. I think it should be whoever won the last point, the other person gets the advantage. I feel like that makes sense.
I think that's fair. Yeah, it's perfect.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, so the starter is Batman Arkham Knight, which takes 16 and a half hours. That seems like quite short. 16 and a half hours for Batman Arkham Knight.
I suppose, yeah, if you're just doing main.
Yeah. So the next game is Hades. Is it higher or lower than 16 and a half hours?
So that's where are you considering the story ending on that?
Isn't that
game?
Like a bit unfair? Because isn't it an endless game?
It's not unfair when there's data in front of me, mate.
Oh, no, there are credits. So, I mean, you've surely done this, Cardi. Yeah,
but, like, there's some if you beat it. We count if you beat it once or if you beat it, like, 10 times.
No,
or
surely
you
once you
I think
hit
it's
the credits
you beat,
the first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, exactly that.
Okay, I'm going lower then because it definitely took me lower.
Okay. You're wrong, it's higher.
That's ridiculous.
So it's 20, by how much? 21 hours, apparently.
Wow.
Jesse, the baton is passed to you.
Now.
The Last of Us. I was going to say, I said that like I was going to say part two. Sorry. Yeah. The Last of Us.
The Last of Us.
A bit of a hint of a Scottish accent there. The Last of Us. Is it higher or lower than 21 hours?
It has to be lower. Can't take you 21 hours to finish
that's
that.
It's got to be like 16 again, hasn't it?
It's lower. It's 15.5, so can't be even very close there. But it stays with Jesse.
I'm good when it's a game that has a definitive story,
Hey, blame Zach. I didn't come up with these. Next up, Portal 2. Higher or lower than 15 and a half hours?
Lower.
It is lower. It's 8.5. I wasn't going to waste any time on that one. We all know that one.
Yeah.
The next one is a tricky one. Lego City Undercover, higher or lower than 8.5 hours?
Higher.
It is higher, 15 and a half hours.
You got a lot to do in Lego games.
I don't think I've ever played Lego GTA Undercover, to be fair.
That is a pretty good game, actually.
Jesse's keeping his streak going. Next up, Mario Odyssey, higher or lower than 15 and a half hours?
Give him a Slay the Spire, see how long it takes.
Higher.
You're saying higher?
Yes, locked in.
It's lower. It's 12.5 hours, which seems really short.
Yeah.
Suppose if you're just running through all the levels, not collecting any moons.
That's true.
So passes to Simon.
I could replay that game now, actually. Yeah.
Higher or lower than 12 and a half hours, Immortals Phoenix Rising.
It's got to be high, yeah.
It is high. It's 25 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, game can't be 12.
Next up, God of War, the 2018 release.
Oh, you should know this.
Higher or lower than 25 hours. That is a tough one.
If you mainline that game, I reckon you could do it in like 18 to 20. But I know I took nearer 30. I'm going to say if you are mainlining that game, it's lower.
It is lower. It's 21 hours. Oh. Nice. There's only three left. Next up, Marvel's Spider-Man, higher or lower than 21 hours?
Lower. It's going to be like 18.
It's lower. It's 17. Yeah. Close.
100%. That can't be that long.
Two left. And it is another one you might enjoy. Higher or lower than 17 hours, Hollow Knight?
That's high. That is definitely higher. That's more like a 30-hour game, isn't it?
It is higher. Level. It's 26 hours. Yeah.
That's a decent
last amount. One. Can you get this over the finish line?
26. Okay.
Higher or lower than 26 hours, Skyward Sword HD on the Switch?
Oh, why does it have to be a game I haven't played? 50-50, mate. I think it's going to be like, because even the Zelda games like Breath of the Wild, you think are big, I think their how long to beats are surprisingly short. Like, you can do it in like 12. So I'm going to go lower.
He's gone lower than 26 hours. Afraid it's higher, mate. It's 30 hours.
What? That's mad, because people have played that version, that game before. I would have expected it to be in general lower.
Don't question the data, right?
I'm not the one questioning the data. But I have been swindled again. That is, I will say that.
3 points to Jesse. He has won the game. But
I didn't even earn that one.
Should we carry on for firm? We've got two more.
I don't know. What time are we on?
Yeah. How long are we going here?
Already.
Let's have a look.
We've got a lot of British sitcoms to get through.
That is true.
So
I'm just having a quick look.
Should we do that? I'm sure people are enjoying the game, but sadly,
yeah, I think
I'm not going to suffer anymore.
It was a whitewash. Let's just end the embarrassment at this point.
It was a 0-3 spanking, is what we can say.
But
actually,
very good movie knowledge
were you at home
from
then,
Cardi, as
is
always.
That what you're saying?
Look, all I'm saying is I was cheated, and I'm very bitter about it. And this is why I should host all the games in future. I think actually, because
what?
It's just not going my way. Podcast is now over. No, right. Let's get. So we said we were going to talk about this. The British. British sitcom Smash Scott,
yeah.
BSS, that's what we called it.
Okay.
If you missed last week for some reason, you haven't listened, what we did was inspired by the Nicktoons like Smash Fighter they announced. We thought, let's make our own roster based on British sitcom characters. And then we asked you for your suggestions, and we got lots of emails in. Sorry if yours isn't read, but we did get a lot. And we also got some, like I said, some international suggestions, which is always good. But first, I want to hear Dale and Jesse, what have you got for us? Have you got any suggestions that you think should be on this roster?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I put great thought into this. I was listening to the podcast last week and I was like, you guys covered a lot of good characters, a lot of good sitcoms. I was dabbling with some other ones, but then all I could think about was this one person, right?
Okay.
So I imagine you might not have seen the show. Have you either of you seen the This Country BBC mockumentary series?
I haven't actually, but I've seen a lot of trailers for it.
Oh, so
never even heard of it.
It is a fantastic mockumentary series about people who are living in Somerset and just they kind of layabouts, and it's about this little village basically. Mm-hmm. And in this village, there was this person called Mandy, who is often nicknamed Mad Mandy, who is an absolute bruiser. Like, she's covered in tattoos.
Is she related to Mad Andy from
Peach? No. Oh, that'd be another good one, actually, thinking about it. But she there's an episode where she acts as a bodyguard. She will always threaten to beat anybody up if they get in her way. But also, okay, she has another side to her as well. Like, so she goes to the local book club and she writes her own poetry and writes her own short stories sometimes as well.
Lovely. And Mandy sounds lovely.
And she also has the power of persuasion as well. mainly because she's like, you wouldn't fuck with her at all. So you'll do whatever she says. But there's one episode where one of the main characters, Curtin, buys a PC off her. And when she's selling the PC, it turns out it's just the monitor and there's nothing else on the PC. And he argues the point, but then she's like, are you calling me a liar? You're saying I'm not selling you so any. He ends up paying £50 for just a monitor and then walks away. So I'm thinking she's a new character class. She's like the hypnotic bruiser, right? She's got this power of brute force, but she can also like, she can hypnotize you. She can persuade you into doing things.
Like, you have to like lull your enemies first. And
yeah,
then
she can read you a short story and which sort of sends you into like a sort of almost like sleepy state, and then she can absolutely, when she pulls you in, she can unleash fury from there.
That's really cool.
I think
sounds a fantastic addition.
You wouldn't mess with
that. I think I'd main that character.
She's been approved. Well done. Did you just have the Wando? Did you come armed with the Wando?
I also thought your buddy G from People Just Do Nothing as well. But I didn't give it too much thought, but I thought he would be a funny addition. Mainly because he's kind of got the Del Boy vibe. He's a wheeler dealer. So we kind of covered that ground.
Jesse, me and Del have already kind of had some insight as to who you're picking, and I don't think either of us would ever have judged this. And I don't know what it says about you, but this is what you've gone for.
Yeah, so this came to mind immediately as soon as I was told. Just My Parents Are Aliens.
What's a classic British sitcom?
Oh, right, it's a show.
It's an all-timer.
It is a British children's sitcom that was aired on ITV, and I watched it all the time as a child, you know, back when I was heading to primary school and whatnot. And for those, you know, not in the know regarding ITV's finest piece of TV, this show is all about two aliens who crash landed on Earth and then end up adopting three children. And, you know, they're their parents, and, you know, you have all the crazy, like, little antics.
How did they get through the adoption process? How's that happen?
It's a good show, let me tell you that. And, you know, you have all, like, the crazy situations where, like, the parents, you know, they're trying to hide that the fact they're aliens to, like, other parents and other children and stuff. It's just so much fun. It's basically the WandaVision, but for children. Just want to put that out there. It was the WandaVision of the day, and I think, you know, reviews will back that up.
Are you going to write that? Can you please write that article for IGN? My Parents of Aliens were ahead of its time.
Yeah, it's a feature waiting to happen, isn't it?
But yeah, I haven't played Smash too much, but I am familiar with the Ice Climbers. So my idea for this combatant is you've got Tony Gardner, who plays the dad. He is the first section of this character. And then you've got, I think her name is Carla. I can't remember her other name. She's the mum, so they come as two, right? And they are the two main fighters, but they come as one, and they have attacks which include offering really handy, like, life advice.
Tony Gardner the name of the actor?
It is the actor.
It's the actor, not the character.
I don't need to know their alien names, because it's more important to have Tony Gardner, because he brings a wealth of knowledge from other characters.
You do need to know
their names,
because I'm asking for it. What's it called?
I'm saying I want to bring in the deep lore. So
the deep lore, an actor is not a deep lore.
It's deep lore coming from their other filmography and TV shows and whatnot.
Tony Gardner,
his name in the show was Brian
Johnson.
By the way,
and who's the other one you said?
And then you have her name is Carla Mendonca,
Sophie Johnson,
I think.
Brian and Sophie.
There we go. So you've got the mum and dad together, and, you know, they're offering life advice as combat. They're throwing brownies at you. And if you've watched the first episode of My Parents Are Aliens, you'll know about the brownies. It's a very important note. And they also can transform their human selves into aliens to have, like, extra attack damage, which obviously makes sense. Yeah. And their ultimate is bringing their three children along, which then combined allows you to have a full runtime episode play, which then bores and kills the enemies. And that's about 20 minutes long. So I've thought a lot about this, and I think they'll be very versatile characters, because you get the two and the three.
Like, I'm not officially on the committee of deciding who makes it into this game or not, but I feel like this might be the first rejection.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, their special move is they play a full episode of their TV show.
Yeah, why not? If you can have Game & Watch and other shite characters, you can have Tony Gardner and the others.
We're not having shite characters. That's the key to our roster, though. But do you know what? This is firmly under consideration, because this is...
No.
I don't know.
It's confirmed. This is final release. This is the first DLC, in fact.
Why don't we get on to what the listeners have to say? we've got like six emails here. Like I said, we got like near 20, I think. So maybe we'll come back to this another time, but thank you for your emails. First one here I've got is from CJ. It says, hello, people. Loved your British sitcom, Smash. I keep accidentally saying shitcom. Yeah. Which is kind of, you know, It fits. My girlfriend and I were listening in the car, and we came up with our entry, and their entry is Tim from Spaced. I was thinking about Spaced. Personally, if I had to go for Spaced, I would have to go for Reese Shearsmith. And
he's not even that good at Robot Wars. What else has he got?
He's got a Robot Wars. That's all he needs. And he says, "Oh no,
oh da, reading
all this feedback, I do not know a lot of these characters from these shows."
Yeah, well, I got that because you picked on from My Parents Are Aliens,
which is also a sitcom.
But it's a sitcom for 10-year-olds.
Exactly, so it's a very valid choice. Might be good from watched by many.
Well, I'm just trying to think who else would be good from Space as well. Like Nick Frost's character is like he loves his guns.
I think
his
people
army.
People did suggest Mike.
Yeah.
And also, what's the name? Is it Tyre? The name of like the disco guys, like You Lucky People? Is his name Tyre? No.
I'm not. Is it Wheels or something like that, isn't it?
Wheels or Tyre. I think it might be Tyre.
I'll have a look while you're talking.
But yeah, I haven't watched Space in years. Watch Space, Jesse. You'll like it. You like Edgar Wright, don't you? Do you like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz?
I've met him.
There's a bit when he's playing Resident Evil 2 in it.
Exactly.
As well.
Oh, I have seen that scene, actually.
seen that scene. Anyway. CJ's suggestion of Tim from Space says he can dash around the level on his skateboard, shoot people with his finger guns. That's very good. And do melee attacks with his pens and pencils and skateboard. His taunt can be eating twiglets because they make him angry. And maybe some of his more advanced attacks can involve drawing comic book characters that come to
life
and attack.
I like
this is all good stuff. Obviously, for his final smash attack, he would call in Mike in his stolen tank to invade France. Jesse, you'll love it. Really, you would. You'd be laughing right now, I tell you.
I just wanted to ask. No. Do you lot like twiglets?
No.
I do.
Oh, okay.
Right. Do you like Marmite?
The research continues.
I feel like if you like Marmite...
I like Marmite with cheese, but not just like Marmite by itself. I think they complement each other.
Okay, so maybe you want to...
Don't give me that look, Dale, because it's a sandwich.
I mean, there's
a
well-documented marketing piece that says about Marmite where you either love it or hate it, and you've just clearly said that you sometimes like it, but sometimes not asked.
Well, yeah, I'm breaking the mold. Fuck them.
Exactly. To be the rebel I am as well, I think it's fine. It doesn't really fit. But anyway, yeah, CJ has said, on a side note, there used to be a freeware fighting game on PC called Mugen, where you could make custom characters and movesets. They had a bunch of TV and film characters in, and he distinctly remembers Tom Hanks being OP. We're very familiar with that. Don't worry, we've had many a salty bet night where we've watched all of these characters fight each other. And
Tom Hanks versus a Game Boy or something.
it's so good.
Ronald McDonald is often appearing in that game as well.
If you're enjoying our chat about these characters, definitely watch some salty bet. It's constantly running 24/7
on Twitch. That is good stuff.
Yeah, he is fantastic. Called Tyres in Spaced as well.
There we go.
Okay, so this
Dale.
Yeah, this is from Luke Spencer. He says, "Hello, folks. Luke here, bellowing from the arse end of a French baguette." Okay.
There we go.
"I was thinking Larry David would be a great playable character to have in the Smashlight game, solely because of the image of himself and Superhands cored around each other fighting like two lanky snake men is very amusing. I don't know what his moveset would be. I'll leave that to the boffins to sort out. I'm an ideas guy. Respect the scene."
I like Luke's tone there.
What could Larry David?
Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm, if you don't know.
What could his powers
again,
be?
An international... he's joining the roster, because he's almost very British in nature. He's very he's a grumpy old man.
Yeah.
His moves, I don't know, there's just so many different scenarios he gets.
All I can think of is the beloved aunt bit. Is there a way of like...
And the doll.
He spells his opponent's names wrong and antagonizes them and makes them weak and vulnerable.
Oh, there's just so many different... So I think one of his attacks has got to be... it's got to be summoning the dad. I don't know if you've watched it all or not, but summoning the dad from Kamikaze Bingo.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very good
thing.
Oh,
what about having... special movies you can bring in Leon as well to just like handle some business.
Yeah, Leon's got to come in. Golf clubs. He plays golf all the time. He's got a golf club as a melee weapon. That's an obvious one, I think. But yeah, Larry David fits in everything and should be in everything.
Jesse,
what have we got?
This is from Stuart Jackson. He says, simply, Crichton, Red Dwarf, main attack, vacuum attached to his chest, Luigi Mansion style, special, summon in the Starbug.
Nice.
I have not seen Red Dwarf.
Either Crichton or Red Dwarf. Have you heard of any of those?
No, but I have a mate who really loves Red Dwarf. Yeah. And the only thing I really know is one of the main actors in it, I think he's in EastEnders or Coronation Street as well. He's like a mainstay character in one of the soaps. Yeah, I can't remember what his name is.
He's in Coronation Street, I believe.
Didn't he also do Robot Wars? Yes.
Yeah, talking about Craig Charles.
Right.
He'd also be a good fit. I think I would have Dwayne Dibley.
Dwayne Dibley would be good.
Is Red Dwarf recommended viewing? Because I've never really watched a lot of British...
I never loved it. It was a little bit before my time, though.
Yeah. Okay. So I was big into it. And it was very much like late night British comedy. It was always on at about 10 o'clock at night, I remember.
Is it like a piss take of like Star Wars and Star Trek and stuff?
Oh, yeah, but it's absolutely stupid. Yeah, it's just really silly. Yeah, they're stuck in... He's been like frozen over time or what, I can't remember what it is. And it's in the future and so on. There's like a wacky cast and they're always up to, it's like every week they're running into a new alien race and some mad things are happening and stuff. Yeah. But it's like very low budget and it looks low budget as well.
That sounds cool.
I don't know if it holds up or not. I've not watched it in a very long time though. So I don't know how good it would be today.
Still a lot of good character options from it. I'm liking it. We've got a slightly different proposal here from Daniel Moore, who suggests a spin-off. I'm thinking maybe it's like a mega DLC pack. We kind of covered some of these before, but they do fit. It's the Mark Heap versus Matt Berry DLC pack. So you get kind of maybe skins for each of them. So for Mark Heap, you've got Jim from Friday Night Dinner, Alan from Green Wing, and obviously Brian from Spaced. Yeah. And some of his characters from Brass Eye as well, such as the one who just shouts at cows. he's a very good character. That'd be good. And then for Matt Berry, you've got so many to choose from. You've obviously got Sanchez from Garth Marenghi. You've got Dixon from The Mighty Boosh. You've got Douglas from The IT Crowd. Toast from Toast of London. And Laszlo from What We Do in the Shadows. He's got a lot of good characters.
There's a bit, one episode where Laszlo has to go on the run and he becomes like a bar owner in America somewhere. Oh, he's got a fantastic name and I can't remember what it's called. But he's like a coach of the women's volleyball team or something. Yeah. I'd want that character in as well.
I've only seen one of those shows there, and that's Dark Place. Am I missing out on all the rest?
What We Do in the Shadows is very worth watching.
Yeah. Okay. Brass Eye, if you haven't watched all of Brass Eye, absolutely watch
it. Is Brass Eye like kind of fake news night thing?
It's kind of. The day-to-day is similar to that as well.
Okay, right.
They're both very good. But yeah, lots of good... And he says, cheers, and am I going to try and do a Matt Berry voice? I don't think.
Do it.
Oh, no.
I'll try.
It's a very hard voice to do.
For the love of all things, respect the sea. I can't do it. That was way off.
For the love of... No.
Well, you're doing more Sanchez now.
Yeah, I know. That's easier to do.
Same crock of shit. Tell me, am I in... I'm just trying to think of his lines and then trying to... No, it's not working.
This is very entertaining to watch from my end.
It's easier to go, I'll just do that. Easier, isn't it? Dale, who's next?
Yeah, don't ever write and get us to do impressions, by the way. I don't think it's in our remit. This is from Mike Heim. Hi, guys. My submission for the British sitcom brawler character is Gareth from The Office. Gareth always has ideas of himself which were grander than what reality gifted to him. In the brawler, he would have no physical attacks. He would only be able to jump and evade, although this too would be nerfed. Every time he got hit by another character, a random clip from a soundboard play of Tim and Dawn mocking him with lines of cock, and they've entered your hole without knowing, and team leader means nothing. It's like making the kid at school a milk monitor. This would continue until he's taken enough damage to activate his super move, transforming into a huge, jacked army commando with territorial army emblazoned across his massive chest and biceps. For 10 seconds, he would be the most OP character in brawler history, pretty much a one-hit killing anything that came near him. Metaphorically or literally, he'd be a boy able to swim faster than a shark, able to kill a tiger armed only with a biro. Basically everything he imagines himself to be in his mind's eye. At the end of his super timer, he reverts back to being low-power Gareth, to the sound clip of them saying, "They've put my stabler in jelly again." Hope you enjoy. All the best.
I like it. Gareth was definitely on my initial list when I was thinking of characters, because he's just got it all, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he has nothing.
Where do you two land on the UK and US Office debate? Because I've only seen the US.
They're both phenomenal.
I haven't watched the UK one, so I don't know if it's
actually
both
like 10 out of 10 shows.
They're both phenomenal. Yeah,
All right.
Yeah. No debate. Why compare? Don't need to. Just enjoy both. I would say with Gareth, though, he is like... Mike's implying here that he's completely useless and it's all bullshit, and I don't think that's true. I definitely think, like, Gareth, like, for example, when Gareth, they're in the club and he says he's going to, like, try and hit on that girl, and he actually, like, achieves it and stuff. Like, yeah, he succeeds.
He's got to have a move where he just goes by on a sidecar as well.
But he's, like, I think, like, his confidence... like it's not completely just, but I think he has some merit. Like he has a lot of knowledge as well.
Great quiz master.
Yeah,
he's just a question on the Panama Canal.
The thing he hasn't got obviously is the brawn, and that's like Mike suggested. That's where the brawn superpower could come in.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's a good character. And the last one, Jesse. What have we got?
I've got a fantastic suggestion from Mike. He says, "Hey, this is 100% my bag. I'm going to be very restrained and stick to one suggestion." Mr. Bean, or perhaps just Bean, depending on what sounds better from the announcer.
Bean.
His moveset includes puking into a paper bag and exploding it across the other players, putting a waste paper bin over the opponent's head and jamming them with a pencil, running you over in his yellow mini, a bit like Wario's bike, fair enough, putting explosives in a tin of paint and setting them off. His final smash would be the big reveal that Teddy is, in fact, a higher being of power, ascending into the air like some kind of fluffy god before unleashing a myriad of explosions and beams from his beady eyes. He also has taunts that includes a wobbly leg dance and flipping everyone off. His stage... oh, see, he went for a stage, which is also pretty cool. His stage would be his apartment with a rocked-up version of the angelic theme tune. Mm. Apologies if these references are too niche.
No, we get
they certainly
it, mate. We
are
get
not.
It.
Also curious to know what you lot imagine the game's graphical style would be. Realistic human fighters or something more cartoony? Respect the bloody sea. P.S. Can we have one of the family from Dinosaurs or Harry from Harry and the Hendersons for the US DLC? I'm aware this counts as multiple suggestions, so sue me.
I think those ones are...
like Harry from Harry and the Hendersons would be quite good.
I think those ones are a bit out of your era there, Jesse, those last two. But yeah.
Yes, because I do not know where they are from.
Yes, but Mr. Bean transcends age.
100%.
I would say I really want him with the angelic theme tune bit, like when he comes into the map, like it has to do the beam of light and he just falls onto the floor, face plants on the floor at the start. Would you...
Bean, yeah. It would just be worth it just for the announcer to shout Bean.
Did you lot ever watch the cartoon series?
No.
I saw a little bit. I was never...
Yeah,
I mainly just watched the film.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen the film.
Well, was the final one where he went to France? Is it?
I watched
because I watched that in cinema. I think.
What do you think?
I can't remember.
Mr. Bean's like most impressive because he always pulled off some sort of trick in an episode to like help him win the situation. Mm. Like, do you remember the one where he had a New Year's Eve party and he wanted Twiglets? I'm going to talk about Twiglets again. And he just pulls in a branch from the window and just chops off bits of the branch and then like dips them in honey or Marmite or something. And that's his Twiglets.
He's a very clever man.
I do like the episode when he gives orders to like army cadets. I found that to be funny.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
There we go.
We're going on a Bean tangent here. No. I have such a distinctive memory of... the one where he's on the beach, and I remember as a kid thinking it was so impressive when he has to put his swimming trunks on but without taking his clothes off. Do you remember? He has to like feed all his clothes through his stuff just because he doesn't want someone else to see him naked for 1 second.
Oh well. How good lovely. Old Mr. Bean. Thank you for your suggestions. We have got more. If you want to, there's still time. We'll probably carry this on for another week. Why not? If you've got some good suggestions, let us know. And like we said, we've called it British Sitcom Smash. Send in whoever you want. As long as they're from a sitcom, let's not get crazy. I'm not having like Don Draper in this. That's not a sitcom. Yeah. Come on. Send those into IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. As well as if you played Back for Blood this weekend, why not let us know what you think of that?
Yeah.
I think, like I said, please watch our KDA thing. You don't have to if you don't want. Just be nice. You might find it interesting.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, why not? I've seen it. It's good.
Wicked.
Let's put some KDA at the end. Why not?
Yeah.
I'll pick one of the bangers, probably from Moore.
Yeah.
Because Moore is a banger. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.